Good to see everyone here this morning, and good to see many children back for the holidays, whether coming off of work or back from school, and great to have all the families home and the kids here, and especially glad to have you here to come and worship God with us, to celebrate all the good things that God does for us, has done for us, and will continue to do for us. Well, we're blessed from this past year of another year of Agape, of doing our meals and opening our pantry again, and I think we've probably fed over 3,000 people this past year. About 60 to 70 people come here every Wednesday night, members and community alike. And you know, this time of year, getting all the Christmas cards in the mail and people handing you cards, and every card is special, but it was very a special card I got from one of our visitors named Jody, who came, and just people just very appreciative of the work being done, the love that's felt here, the life change that's happening in folks' lives. We're not having Agape the next 2 weeks, and so they were just grateful. I want to share that with you and thank our five or six cooking teams that have cooked throughout the year. May that come and help serve and greet people and watch the door and help with dogs, you know, and help with in the pantry and help serve and set up and clean up. And it's a lot of work to do this work, but I want to share that gift of gratitude and thanksgiving that's been given to us. There's going to be a shower for Matt and Jenny McGill. They're having a baby boy. This is their two girls, and it's like they got cats up there. but this Saturday, 9 a.m., she's due the 1st of January, and wanted to have the shower before. I know it's a busy time, but if you can come out to the shower, support this young couple, that'd be great. They are registered at Amazon. There's some information in the bulletin. Also, I want to let you know that starting 1st of January, we're starting a new Bible class. I'm glad that we have the classes we have. Those that come in honor the time coming to Bible class, about 40 or 50 come every Sunday morning at 9:30 for a Bible study. We're going to start this year off with a focus on prayer, seeking first the kingdom of God. And it'll be a class about talking about what Jesus' prayers and what he said about prayer, but also participating in a time of prayer. I don't know if many of you are like me, but a lot of times I get running off and wonder where Jesus is. I get started off in a year and wonder where he is, and wait a minute, I didn't ask him, I didn't seek him first. And so let's come together, seek God in prayer together as we start the year off, starting January 5th of this new class. And February 9th through the 12th, Jerry and Lynn Jones is coming back to the area. Very high qualified marriage and family counselors. Going to do a conference for us in our community called Relationships Matter. And so as he said, I talked to him this last week, he said the very key part of this whole thing is having the record Bible class attendance on that February 9th. And so as you're making your calendars, I know you're getting through this week, but you're going to start making New Year's resolutions that are going to be ended before January 2nd. But if we could start off with coming to class on a routine, be ready for this Relationship Matters conference. There'll be some more materials coming out for us to get the word out to our friends and neighbors and community, focusing on raising up our community, raising up our families, our marriages, and all of our relationships we have one with another. A great outreach opportunity that's going to be coming to us soon. Well, a lot of things happening this time of year. One of the things that maybe you do with your family is, anybody go watch movies? Because a lot of the new blockbuster movies coming out this time of year. I already got to go see the new Star Wars movie. Peyton got to go see it with his leadership class before I did. I said, don't spoil it. So I'm not going to spoil it. But I remember when the first Star Wars came out, the one that was just called Star Wars. There was no episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It was just Star Wars. Remember that into the 70s? Well, I didn't watch it when it came out. I was born in 78, so I got to watch it as a rerun. But I remember watching the first Star Wars, and then there was Empire Strikes Back, and then Return of the Jedi, right? I'm not going to spoil any of those. If you haven't seen those, it's been too long, okay? But then I remember in 1999, they came up with Episode 1. I said, well, they never called it Episode 1, but I've seen the first one. Everyone's like, no. That's number 3. Oh, that's number 4. That's the fourth one. And so there's like this prequel the story before, because you catch up like any story or any movie. You kind of get a jump into someone's life, and a good story builds characters by kind of giving you some backstory, but they just can't fill in all the gaps and all the spaces. Well, when they came up with episode one, they said, well, let's get the backstory of who Darth Vader is. Let's find out how he got to Luke and Leia and these characters we're experiencing. And then they came up with the, got to do my math, 7, 8, 9. Just watch the 9th one. That's the last one that just came out, to see what happens next, because the story's got to end somewhere. You know, and just, well, they ride off into the sunset, or they drive away, or they defeat this enemy, and now what? And so you get in the 7, 8, and 9 that has recently been released, you get the story after. So you get this big story, that there's this prequel, and there's this pre-story to the story, and that seems like that's the truth when it comes to the life of Jesus. And if you're going to start telling about the life of Jesus, I mean, where do you start? I mean, you just jump right in, and maybe you just jump right into the cross. Well, what is the cross? Why was he on the cross? And maybe you jump into one of his miracles, and how did he get there, and where did he come from, and where is he going? And maybe we start with this birth, which would be a great start. I don't know about your life, but when you start telling your life story, maybe some of you start, well, I was born here. But it would be okay. Some life stories sell well. You start even further back and say, well, my grandparents and my parents, and then here came me. You get the prequel. But you don't always get that privy with everybody. Sometimes you have to pick, and you have to prod, and you have to ask. Well, in the Gospels, where we get the tellings of Jesus Christ, the good news, the coming of the Christ, each one takes their own liberties and starts with the story of Christ. And we've been journeying through Luke's Gospel. And where is he going to start? We looked about how John, he starts in the cosmic, you know, in the beginning. Which beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He starts from the beginning of all creation, taking us back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that he was there then. And that kind of blows, I don't know if that blows your mind, but that kind of blows my mind. Whoa, John, where are you going? I'm jumping into Jesus' story, and you're taking me way back. And then you get Matthew's Gospel, and he starts off with this long genealogy, which maybe you're telling your family story, and you start telling it, and you go, well, my grandfather was this, and my father, you get this family line, you get this family tree, and that's helpful, and that's informative. Then he gets to the birth narrative. And Mark, we don't even get a birth story. He's like, none of that baby stuff. He gets right into where he starts preaching, which we talked a little bit about John last week, and when he came preaching, the fulfilling of the prophets, that one would come and prepare the way, preaching a gospel of repentance, preparing the way for the Savior. And then Jesus comes. And he's a grown man by the time you see him in Matthew. But then Luke starts. And he starts not with the birth, not all the way back to the prequel, the prequel, the prequel, back to the beginning like John. But he starts with the foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist. Well, who? This is a story about Jesus. Well, who's this John? And who's this family, Zechariah and Elizabeth? Why is he starting there? Well, he chooses to start there. And Luke, in his gospel in chapter 7, Jesus says, there is no one greater than John. You know, Jesus says something that someone's great. It's like, well, I want to know the story. And so Luke decides to tell the story of is starting this part of the good news of the coming of Christ. Well, in the foretelling of the coming of Christ and the foretelling of John, we see that an angel shows up to his father, who is an upright and righteous man. He's serving in the temple. He knows the prophecies of a Savior or a Messiah who will come. And him and his wife were unable to have children. And an angel appears to him as he's serving, as he got the blessing of being in the most holy place. And an angel appears to him and says, you will have a son, and he will be a joy and a light to you and many. He will be set apart. His life will be for a purpose. And from birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will bring back many, and he will turn hearts back to righteousness, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And after the foretelling of the birth of John, Luke jumps into the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. All right.
okay, there's some things that are happening before in preparation. So we get some of this backstory, and then we get the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. Now, was just read what and from Matthew. Matthew's account talked about the angel coming to Joseph, but in Luke, he focuses it on Mary, and an angel comes to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And she's troubled, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor, and you will give birth to a child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will be the son of the Most High God. And he will sit on the throne of David's house and will reign forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end." And Mary asks, "How will this be?" And he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." You wonder, how will John fulfill what he's to do, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit to prepare the way. How will Mary, how will this happen? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you, and the Son of the Most High will be born and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And then we get the birth of John the Baptist. After Mary sings a beautiful song about the Lord blessing her and showing mercy, we get in Luke chapter 1, verse 57 and following, we get the birth of John. And John, because of his concern, his question, or his awe and wonder or doubt, he was not able to speak until his son was born. And everyone was wondering, what is he going to name his child? And in that time, the father usually named their child after themselves. And so everyone thought, he's going to name him Zechariah. He's going to name him Zechariah. And he got a writing tablet and he wrote, his name is John, living in obedience to what the angel and messenger of God had told him he would call his son, the one who saves. And his mouth was opened, and he began praising God and giving glory to God. And then he sings this wonderful song, first proclaiming the redemption and the salvation and the mercy that that God is bringing. Then also the work of his son to be a prophet, the one to speak for the Most High God, the one who will go before the Lord, prepare the way, giving knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins and showing God's tender mercy. And then we get the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. Where a Savior, or where an angel comes and says, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And angels come and begin praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The gift has come. The gift, the promise, the fulfillment, the Son, the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah has come. The one who will save people from their sins. The one who will reign on the house of David forever and ever. And then as Luke goes on, we get some more information about him going to the temple and him being praised by the servants there. And then we don't get much more about Jesus' life. We don't get many of his growing years. We don't get his toddler years. I mean, can you imagine what Jesus was like as a toddler? Was he a terrible two or a terrific two? You know, what was he like when he was 4, 5, and 6? You know, we don't catch up to him until we don't even get the teenage years, but we do get when he's a preteen. At age 12, Luke tells about him being in the temple and him teaching in the synagogue and him teaching the leaders there. We see also the confusion of his parents, of them coming to understand, well, what is he all about and how is this all going to take place? And we see at the end of Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that the Lord, he grew in wisdom and in stature with favor with God and men. And so, last week we looked at, in chapter 3, again, this prequel of the coming of Christ, we see John then begins preaching. We heard that he's going to start preparing the way. He's going to bring many back. And how is he going to do it? And what is his message going to be? And he goes out into the wilderness, and what does he start to preach? He begins preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He comes out saying, produce fruit, or the axe is ready. He says, you know, the Lord has his winnowing fork ready to spread out, to sort out the wheat, the one that's prepared, that's producing good wheat, and the chaff as well. He says, I baptize you with water, but one who's coming more powerful than me is going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And he's going to sort out the ones that are fruitful and those who aren't. He comes preaching judgment. He comes preaching with an axe and with fire. Because that's what he imagines what the Lord has come to do. He preaches repentance. Speaking of the axe and the fire. But then he turns in Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. He was out baptizing for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Many thought that maybe he was the Savior. He says, no, I'm unworthy to untie his shoelaces. One more powerful. All I have is water. All I have is this commitment. All I have is this turning. He's the one who can cleanse. He's the one that can purify. He's the one that can bring the Holy Spirit. And here, Luke doesn't spend a lot of time here on the baptism of Jesus. But you got to kind of go, wait a minute. That was the point you were preaching. And now Jesus shows up. And he's being baptized. And we've got to answer some questions here. Well, why was Jesus baptized? You know, why was he baptized? Was he baptized for the repentance of the forgiveness of sins? No, he had no sin. You know, in Matthew's gospel, he spends a little bit more time where Jesus shows up and says, I must be baptized by you. And John shows his humility and says, no, if anyone's going to do any baptizing here, you're going to baptize me. But Jesus says to him, no, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Well, what kind of righteousness is being fulfilled? He doesn't have any sins to be forgiven. Some say he was baptized because so he can identify with man's sinfulness. So he can identify with the acts that lead us to death. So he can join us in that. He comes from but he is God, but he understands our lives. And he joins us in sin and in death. But he does this to be an example as what do what Jesus does. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus was baptized to be obedient. But Luke seems to focus on something more as he does throughout his gospel. And as you look, even as he writes into Acts, he writes the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts could be seen as the Acts of the Apostles. But if you read it, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You see how he's emphasized already the Spirit and his telling of the coming of Christ. He talks about, Zechariah asks, he's being explained he's going to have this son, and he's going to bring many people back, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. When Mary asks, how will this be? It's going to be by the Holy Spirit that's going to overshadow you. And so Luke says, when people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And this was to fulfill, yes, to fulfill all righteousness, the prophecies of Isaiah and of the Psalms. But there was something more going on here that Luke chooses to allow us to see. That there was an anointing of this king that was happening. We see the anointing of Jesus, and we see the declaration by God of who he is. He was baptized too. And it says he prayed and the heaven was opened up. This curtain was being peeled back, but there's something bigger going on. I would have loved to imagine that it asked Luke, what would that look like? What did you see? Like, what was behind the heavens that was opened up? It's kind of like if you've ever been in any type of theater production, there's always some tricks of the trade. There's things going on behind the scenes that aren't quite what they are to make you think what it is. You ever seen one of those movies where they had the backdrop and it looked like a mountain or it looked like an ocean, but it wasn't there, it was just a picture of it? There's something more going on. You walk that way, you're going to run into a wall. There's nothing behind there. But the heavens open up. The God is over this all. And as it opens up, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and as best as they can describe it, in bodily form, like a dove, it looks like something's coming down. And when this word descend, when this heavenly being is coming down, that registered very deeply with the people. Because they knew of God coming down. When they had the tabernacle, he came down in a fire and a cloud. When he built the temple, he came down and filled the temple with his glory. And when the gospel writers begin talking about Jesus coming, Matthew, he writes it, that he will come and he call him Emmanuel, will mean God with us. He will be coming down. Well, Jesus didn't come down. He was born from. And this was saying, well, who is he? His spirit comes down on him. And God is with us. And John, he writes in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And when that word dwelling amongst us is that same language as tabernacle, he tabernacled amongst us. He set up his tent. He set up his residence among us. That's how he is with us. He came down in the flesh. And how do we know he is the one? He is the Son. Well, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and then he is declared by God. But before we get to that declaration, Jesus was so excited about this Holy Spirit. He was excited about it for what it would mean for us, for God to be with us. He writes a lot about this, or John writes a lot about this in his gospel, in John 15 and also John 16. And Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, when the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. This is how God is with you. John 16, he says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, see, this apocalyptic thing, Jesus is kind of pulling back. When I go away, unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He goes on in 16, 13 through 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive. I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I mean, you ever wonder, you know, Jesus is the gift and that God will be with us. Well, how will he be with us? I mean, because we know the story. We know the prequel and we know the postquel. We know that he came and he lived and he died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven. So how is he with us? He says, just as the Spirit came down on him in baptism, this Spirit is going to be coming down on you. And where do we receive that gift? Where do we receive that? Luke writes about it in Acts. It's repent. Here he preaches repentance, like John preached. You know, in preparing people for what the Lord had done and for his return again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, when Luke talks about the baptism, it says he was baptizing and Jesus was baptized too. And you got to go, there's something more there. But he gets right to this anointing of the Spirit of God being with him. And then this declaration where a voice from heaven, Luke 3:22, saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The gift has come. And Jesus is excited about this gift of the Holy Spirit. And he lives out of this gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke in chapter 4. The Spirit leads him away to the desert to be to fast for many days to draw near to the Lord. It's by the Spirit that he does that. By the Spirit he's tempted and he resists the evil, the temptations. It's by the Spirit that he reaches out and he begins to teach in the temples. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogues, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, set it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And from there he continues to do his ministry, to do his work. He casts out demons. He rebukes fevers with his voice. He calls the poor and the sinner. He calls his disciples to follow. And he calls from the lowest and from the sinners to follow him. He preaches love for enemies. He preaches about bearing fruit, about building life on his word. He heals a centurion's son. He raises a widow's son from death. And for John, this was an unexpected gift. This was an unexpected life. It was unexpected because you remember, what did John preach? What do you imagine about this king? He said, "Repent, because the axe is ready." He says, "Bear fruit, because the fire is burning." And he's not seeing this Messiah, this one that he's prepared the way for, doing this. He says, John's disciples, chapter 7, told him about all these things, all the things he was doing, showing grace, showing mercy, showing love, forgiving and healing and calling and living this new life, giving people hope and giving people victory over their oppressions. He sent them to the Lord and asked, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" I don't know. That seems like an interesting question for John to ask. I mean, here's the one his whole life. He's the one. He's the one. Prepare the way. He's the one. But John comes out expecting this one type of king and yet this one type of gift. But this is the gift of Jesus who has come. He's been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's giving the gift of grace. He's giving the gift of grace. Jesus replies to the messengers, "Go back to report to John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." He says, after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before the Lord.'" Saying, "John, I am the one. I am the gift. The gift has come, full of grace, full of mercy, full of the Holy Spirit." And then Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Who will you be the least to this season? Who is on your giving list? Who will you give the gift of grace to this season? the gift of your presence, the gift of your love, of your time. Who will you give the gift of love and of hope and of life? Who will you be a joy and a delight to? Who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will bring back many to the Lord? Who of you, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, turn many hearts back to repentance? Who of you will prepare the way for the Lord's return? Because the King has come, and the King is reigning, but the King will come again. He's a gracious God, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to, yes, John, you were right when you started preaching, to come to repentance. How will they come to repentance if they know Jesus, who died for him, full of grace and mercy and truth, who is the way, is the truth, is the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him? You can receive this gift of grace, the Holy Spirit, through receiving of Jesus. This is a gift that's to you, from Jesus, for others. So this morning, in this season of celebrating the coming of Christ, have you received the gift? Have you received Jesus? Have you received the Spirit? Are you living a life full of grace? Who's on your giving list? I hope that you write down three names or some people that are from your everyday life that you see and wonder, do they know the Lord? Have they received the grace? Are they walking in that light? Those who are in your everyday life, whether it's friends or family, those who have been in this church family at one time, who have somehow wandered away, they begin listening to the different narrative. They've forgotten the story, and maybe need to hear the story of the coming of Christ again to get it right. Those who have been listening to other worldviews that think it's all about me, it's all about my power and my ability to do right and to get it right, and that ain't going to do it. It's only through the grace of God, only through the salvation of Jesus, only by living by the Spirit with him, that God is with us. God is with you. And he wants to be for you, not against you. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want to swing the axe or light the fire. He wants to heal. He wants to forgive. He wants to gather in. That's why he was baptized, to associate. I'm here with you. I've gone through the pains. I've gone through the death. Been there and back. How are you going to come back from that? Only by denying yourself and following me. So who's on your giving list? Who will you call? Who will you write a card to? Who will you visit? Who will you give a blessing to with the power of the Spirit to give the gift of grace? You can receive that gift today, and we can pray with you. Pray for those others that are on that list, even this morning, as we stand and sing.